southern Iranian city of Bandar Abbas witnesses a ceremony welcoming the Navy's 86th flotilla back home after a mission around the world. Meantime, the Chief of the Staff of the Armed Forces tells Press TV that the flotilla accomplished its mission in defiance of U.S. threats and pressure. Israeli far-right minister Itamar Ben-Gvir has visited the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound once again amid heightened tensions in the occupied lands. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. An official ceremony has been held in the southern Iranian port city of Bandar Abbas to welcome a naval flotilla back home, and that after a successful journey around the world. It was attended by top military brass, including Chief of General Staff of the Armed Forces. Major General Mohammad Daghari said that the expedition marks the beginning of a new chapter in the development of Iran's naval power. The general added that the mission is a unique achievement for a Navy subject to sanctions and other propaganda and pressure. The flotilla included domestically manufactured Dana destroyer and Macron forward base ship. They entered Iranian waters on May 17th. The flotilla completed a 63,000-kilometer journey around the Earth in 8 months. It marked the first time an Iranian naval group entered the Pacific. The vessel sailed to South America and visited South Africa before returning home. Earlier, we were joined by correspondent Kisumi Shamedi, who has some details about the flotilla's unique voyage. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
I am at the port city of Bandar Abbas in the south of Iran. The 86th flotilla is back from its round-the-world trip, a very specific and special experience for the Iranian Navy. Let's mention that not all navies in the world have this type of experience, touring the entire world, traveling through all the major oceans, the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Indian Ocean, some very dangerous maritime routes that they've passed. And, of course, this is all done because of the technical development of the Iranian Navy, the fact that it has acquired state-of-the-art know-how and technology in order to be able to carry out such an important and dangerous, in many cases, mission that not all navies, as I mentioned before, would be able to take on, traveling through all the important and major canals in the world. And, of course, let's also point out to the fact that this was done because of an atmospherology software that was developed by Iranian technicians. Now, to find out more about the technical aspects and the major developments in this field, I am joined by the technical commander of the Iranian Navy, who is joining me right now to tell us more about this.
The all-Iranian Dana destroyer and the Macron forward base ship are the result of round-the-clock efforts by technical experts at the Iranian Navy and the Defense Ministry, and they managed to pass through all this long route. It is almost 60,000 kilometers they sailed across that route, and that suggests the technical progress of our youth. With the help of this software, we were able to predict what would happen in the seas, and this was one of the secrets to our success, and we knew what we were supposed to do.
A correspondent also asked the Chief of the Staff of the Iranian Armed Forces, Major General Baghali, about the U.S. pressure campaign against the flotilla, and this is what he had to say.
Tell us about the U.S. The U.S. had threatened countries, had asked countries not to allow the Iranian flotilla, the Iranian warships, to dock in their countries. However, we saw that despite U.S. threats, countries like Brazil did not heed the U.S. threats, and also some sanctions had been imposed on this flotilla. The 8-month voyage by this flotilla around the world showed that we can, with reliance on our own capabilities, we can be present in any place in the world, in the oceans around the world, wherever the maritime law allows us to. So we docked at 5 ports during this voyage. The U.S. tried to threaten those countries and ask them not to allow the Iranian warships to dock there, but it didn't happen. And the U.S. should accept that the leverage that it shows, that it uses in the world, those levers are losing their power, are waning, and countries are trying to remain independent, and countries want to decide about their own future. You are seeing these developments in countries in the southern part of the Persian Gulf, and our flotilla, you saw that docked in those countries. U.S. threats are, in fact, threadbare threats. They are saying that they have just kept themselves alive by making these threats. They want to create the impression that they are the masters of the world, and the U.S. wants just to create the impression that it remains a master and a world power.
The spokesman of the Iranian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Nasser Kanani, says that the mission of the Navy's 86th flotilla indicates the fact that U.S. sanctions against Iran can be broken.
Iran, during this major mission, showed that cruel sanctions by the U.S. Can be broken, and this mission rekindled hope in the hearts of independent nations around the world, and told countries which are going to wean themselves off the dependence of major powers that through national might they can actually break the obstacles of the world hegemony. This move by Iran rekindled hope in nations, in friendly nations and countries. Also, it increased Iran's national dignity, and we thank God Almighty for that. Our brave personnel, I mean naval personnel, we congratulate them all on this, and we are confident that this move will definitely tip the balance of international equations, including in international naval arena, in Iran's favor. And the enemies should take into consideration this fact.
Well, the commander of the Russian Navy says that only a powerful country is able to accomplish the mission of sailing around the world on Navy vessels.
All I can say is that only a superpower can send a flotilla on a voyage around the globe. I am very pleased to see Iran has such a naval fleet. The fact that this flotilla has circumnavigated the world indicates that these vessels were technically prepared and that its crew were well trained and experienced.
Political commentator Masoud Shajar tells us about the significance of the Iranian flotilla's successful journey.
Well, there are a number of points that are ticked by this event. One is the fact that international law of maritime is for everyone. And very often, United States uses that by saying they've got the right to be just about anywhere in the world with their warships and so forth. And now this is establishes that countries like Iran also have got those rights, and the United States cannot deny it. And the other aspect is that even to a non-expert like myself, it's very clear that Iran is a regional power. But this action is Iran is showing that they've gone beyond being regional power. They have got a presence, military presence now. They could have it anywhere else, and they're expanding that influence. I think also the challenging of the hegemony of United States by Iran is another factor which we need to recognize that is taking place, and the United States is not able to do anything about it whatsoever.
In other news, at least half a dozen Iranian border guards have lost their lives in a terrorist attack southeast of the country. It took place in Saravan region in Sistan-Baluchistan province. Border guards engaged in armed clashes with terrorists trying to cross into Iran. The terrorists were pushed back across the border after suffering deadly losses. Sistan-Baluchistan province shares a long border with Pakistan and has seen several terrorist attacks targeting both civilians and security forces. Iran's foreign ministry has summoned the Swiss ambassador to Tehran over interference in the country's internal affairs. The ministry also strongly protested what it called an unconventional and unprofessional move by the Swiss embassy to publish a false representation of the Iranian flag. Tehran emphasized that such moves are not in keeping with the friendly relations between the two countries and must be corrected. The ambassador promised to convey Iran's message to her country. The Swiss embassy earlier shared a social media post criticizing Iran's execution of three men convicted of terrorism. The post included an image of the former Iranian regime's flag. Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement is holding a tour of some of its strategic sites for the press. A military drill is also held south of the country. We're now joined by a correspondent in Beirut for more details. Mariam, tell us about this, what the plan is, and especially this is a sensitive juncture of time, given the fact just a few days ago we had this Israeli aggression that ended up in a truce.
Yes, actually, well, we have ended the tour now because we were not allowed to film during the drill, the military drill. So, and there was, it was a very, of course, strategic area. It was very difficult to be able to go live from there and show you firsthand what was happening. But we can tell you, of course, that what we saw is unprecedented. And, of course, it's not merely just a show of force. What Hezbollah was showing us was something that has not been done since before the liberation of 2000, since 1990. When it was for Hezbollah was for the first time showing how they can go and do military drills and allow the media to cover that. Of course, we saw live ammunition. We saw parading of several sorts of vehicles, all-terrain vehicles, motorcycles, and so on and so forth. But the most significant, I believe, issue, in addition to the fact that we saw that Hezbollah was striking their targets very precisely, even drones were hitting their targets precisely. We saw even sniper activity from over 600 meters striking their targets where there needs to be. But what struck us the most was the fact that at the end of the maneuver, Hezbollah showed a simulation of a possible a confrontation which would be held in the Galilee, that Hezbollah would actually invade the Galilee. In any case that the Israelis do attempt to test Hezbollah's capabilities. Of course, Hezbollah has said this very clearly, that if they do attempt to do that, then Hezbollah will have, in addition to their precise rockets, which the Israelis fear, of course, you also have the fact that Hezbollah's fighting capabilities and ground forces are very much ready to actually go and invade the Israeli posts. And we saw this simulation with our own eyes. We saw how they were easily able to hit that post. The simulation of an Israeli post. They were able to hit it and target it, and then the ground forces actually went, and there was a simulation of hand-to-hand combat, in addition to the fact that they hit that that target and they removed the Israeli flag. And at the end, of course, what we saw was Hezbollah flag and the Palestinian flag on one side and Lebanese flag on the other, which, of course, is a message from Hezbollah saying that they will attempt to even liberate Palestine, starting from the Galilee, which is at the border with Lebanon. Of course, the location was very significant, since it is at the border with occupied Palestine. So that in itself is very significant. We had also a speech by head of the Executive Council, Sayyid Hashem Safiyyuddin, who also stress that there is a message to the Israelis, to Netanyahu specifically, that your team will not be able to change the situation. That Netanyahu's attempt did not work in Gaza, and he told them, we saw what you did in Gaza, we saw how weak you were in dealing with or attempting to change the rules of engagement with the Palestinians in Gaza. So how will the situation be with Hezbollah if you attempt to do that? Then Hezbollah will shower the Israelis with precise rockets and will use all the arms and all capabilities they have in order to go on with that confrontation. And experts, of course, on the field have said that any possible future confrontation would most undoubtedly be the final confrontation against Israel and would most probably lead to a liberation of all of Palestine in addition to Al-Quds.
Okay, a thorough account of the story. Thank you very much for that. Maryam Saleh, our correspondent in Beirut. Israel's far-right minister Itamar Ben-Gvir has visited the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound again, further fueling anti-Israeli sentiments. The controversial move came 3 days after the politician, along with tens of thousands of Israeli extremists, marched through the occupied Old City of Al-Quds and just over a week into a fragile Gaza ceasefire. With tensions flaring up in the occupied Palestinian lands, he said that Israel is in charge of Al-Quds. Meanwhile, Hamas has announced that the Israeli regime will be responsible for the consequences of the presence of Ben-Gvir and settlers in the mosque. Well, that report brings it to the end of this newscast from Tehran. Thank you for being with us.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
About yourself?
Amerik Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
Of God, the all-compassionate, the all-merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, May 21st, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. And heartiest felicitations to you all on the auspicious birth anniversary of Lady Fatemeh Masumeh, peace upon her, daughter of Imam Musa Kazem, the seventh infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him. This day is celebrated in the Islamic Republic of Iran as the Girls' Day. So, felicitations to all the girls around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Frank Thies from the Netherlands, from Juan Matias from Spain, and Harald Seuss from Austria. So Frank and Juan, and also Harald, thank you very much for sending us these reception reports. You must know that these reception reports are very helpful to us at IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL or EQSL from us. And let's see who has sent us email from around the world. From Russia, we've received an email from Dmitry Ilagin. From India, we have an email from Sudhir Pandey. Per Ole Stenman from Finland has sent us an email. From Spain, we have an email from Juan Matias. And the last but not the least is an email from Romania from Rodolf Tokax. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back, everyone. From Russia, we've received an email from Dmitry Ilagin. Dmitry says, "Hello from Saratov, Russia. Earlier, I sent you a reception report on Sunday, but unfortunately, I did not receive any answer, so I thought I may have sent it to the wrong email address. Please check it for me, and please verify my reception report with a QSL card. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Dmitry Ilagin from Russia. Please accept our warm appreciations to you for this email, Dmitry. So, this is an email from Saratov, Russia. Please send our greetings to your family in Saratov. And please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as confirmation to your email. Dmitry Ilagin from Russia, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. We wish you all the best. And from India, we have an email from Sotir Pandey. Sotir says, I am pleased to inform you that I have listened IRIB English service. I have heard news and I am very happy that your broadcast can be heard on radio. I am 46 years old and I am a visual artist. I live and work in Bombay. I am a SW listener since 1980s and it is my favorite hobby. If you found program details correct, I would appreciate a QSL card. Wish you all the best. Salam and warm greetings to you, Sotir Pandey from India. And many thanks for writing to us and for this email. So you're 46 years old and you are a visual artist. What an attractive and totally amazing job you have. Being a visual artist is so nice. Anyway, good luck in your job and in your life. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And please accept our EQSL as verification. So after a short break, I will be back with you. From Finland, we have received an email from Per-Ole Stenman. Per-Ole says, "Dear friends, I hope this reception report reaches you. I hear this signal in Finland. I use a radio receiver and long antenna. I have enclosed a recording, MP3. I hope you can hear the recording. Can you confirm this reception as IRIB English Radio? Best wishes from a radio friend." Salam and warm greetings to you, Per-Ole Stenman from Finland, and many thanks for this great email. So please accept our EQSL as confirmation to your email. We also wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, our radio friend, Per-Ole Stenman from Finland. From Spain, we have an email from Juan Matias. Juan says, "Dear staff, I hope you find my reception report useful, and if the details are correct, I would appreciate it if you verify it with one of your QSL cards. If possible, I would also like to receive some sticker from your station." Salam and greetings to you, Juan Matias from Spain. Thank you for writing to your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. Yes, please accept our EQSL as verification to your email. But regarding your request for sending you souvenirs like a sticker, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio in the time of pandemic is not possible. So please be patient. We will soon send our dear listeners the souvenirs and the materials of IRIB English Radio. For the time being, please accept our EQSL. So, Juan Matias from Spain, write to us soon and tell us your views about our program. So, after a short break, I will be back with you. Let's see what Rodolf Takac from Romania has told us. "Dear friends in IRIB, at first let me introduce myself. I am a 75-year-old engineer. In my free time, I like to listen to radio. This is my hobby since 1959. 60 years of radio listening since 1959. Till now, I received QSL cards or verification letters from many radio stations. Now, I receive your radio station. If it is possible, please confirm my reception report with your QSL card, a letter, or email. I also attach a short record from your transmission. Waiting your answer, and I wish you many success in your work. Salam and warm greetings to you, Rodolf from Romania. Please accept our appreciations to you for this great email. Thank you for sharing your personal information with us. So you are 75 years old and you're an engineer. Wish you luck and good health. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL or electronic QSL as confirmation to your email, Rodolf from Romania. So please write to us soon and tell us which program or programs from IRIB English Radio you like the best. Thank you. Mm-hmm. dear listeners, here we come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. But before saying goodbye, I do send my sincere and warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of our listeners from around the world who have sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters, including Frank Thies from the Netherlands, Juan Matios from Spain, Harald Seuss from Austria, Dimitri Ilagin from Russia, Sotir Pandey from India, Per-Ole Stenman from Finland, also Rodolf Takax from Romania. Dear listeners, please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali. He's going to talk about the character of Lady Masuma alayha salam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And this is in Biharul Anwar, volume 57. The previous one was from volume 60. This is volume 57, page 228. إن لله حرما وهو مكة ألا إن لرسول الله حرما وهو المدينة ألا وإن لأمير المؤمنين حرما وهو الكوفة. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, truly Allah has a sanctuary which is Mecca. Rasulullah has a sanctuary which is Medina, Haram. Amirul Mu'minin has sanctuary which is Kufa. You know, people didn't know about Najaf. The grave of Amirul Mu'minin was unknown till the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Najaf and Kufa are very close to each other. Now, you can guess, what would be the next Haram? Allah has haram is Mecca. Rasulullah has haram is Medina. Amirul Mu'minin haram has haram is Kufa. What is the next haram? You may say, okay, for example, Imam Hassan alayhi salam is Baqi, so it's already Medina mentioned. Then Imam Hussein is Karbala, so Karbala is the next haram. Then we have, for example, Imam Kazim buried in Kazimain, so Kazimain is the next haram. Imam Raza is in Mashhad, this is the next haram. So you may expect like this. Then we have Samirra for Imam Hadi and Imam Askari. But this is not what Imam Sadiq says. After Amirul Mu'mineen, he says that there is one haram for us, and that is Qum. I read two versions of this hadith. One version is like this, and the second version is more explicit. So the first version, which is on page 228, it says, إِنَّ لَأَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَمًا وَهُوَ الْكُوفَةِ أَلَا وَإِنَّ قُمْ الْكُوفَةُ الصَّغِيرَةِ قُمْ is a small kufa. So haram of Amirul Mu'mineen, which is kufa, is also present in Qum. أَلَا إِنَّ لِلْجَنَّةِ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَبْوَابٍ Heaven has 8 gates. ثَلَاثَةٌ مِنْهَا إِلَىٰ قُمْ 3 gates are towards Qum, which means people through Qum can go to heaven through 3 gates. Why you need 3 gates? Why not 1 gate? Either because the number is a lot or the qualities are different. So you need 3 gates. Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, تقبض فيها امرأة من ولدي اسمها فاطمة بنت موسى. Soon a lady from my progeny will die in Qum. Her name is Fatima, daughter of Musa. Musa ibn Jafar. Please listen very carefully to this part. وتدخل بشفاعتها شيعتي الجنة بأجمعهم. Through her shafa'a, her intercession, all my Shia will go to heaven. So if someone is true Shia, you can say this person is Shia, will go to heaven through her shafa'a. In another version, which is in Biharul Anwar, volume 99, page 267, we read like this. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ حَرَمًا وَهُوَ مَكَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ حَرَمًا وَهُوَ الْمَدِينَةِ وَلِأَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَمًا وَهُوَ الْكُوفَةِ وَلَنَا حَرَمًا وَهُوَ قُمْ Allah has a haram, which is Mecca. Rasulullah has a haram, which is Medina. Amir al-Mu'minin haram, which is Kufa. We, Imam Sadiq says we, means Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Zainul Abidin, Imam Baqir, Imam Sadiq, up to Imam Mahdi. We all have haram, one haram. وَلَنَا حَرَمًا وَهُوَ قُمْ And that is قُمْ. وَسَتُدْفَنُ فِيهِمْ رَأَةٌ مِّنْ وُلْدِي Soon, a woman from my progeny will be buried in قُمْ. تُسَمَّى فَاطِمَة Her name is Fatima. مَنْ زَارَهَا وَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ Whoever visits her, of course, with the conditions. Whoever properly visits her, wajabat lahul jannah. Heaven becomes necessary. Narrator says, qala alayhi salam dhalika wa lam tahmil bi Musa ummuhu. Imam Sadiq said this while still Imam Kazim was not conceived. The mother of Imam Kazim had not yet become pregnant. So the father of Lady Ma'suma was not yet conceived. 2 generations before, Imam Sadiq said this about Lady Fatima and the city of Qum. So it's not by chance that she is in Qum. This was something which was foreseen, which was planned. So we have hadith like this. And then in addition, hadith about the significance of visiting this lady. For example, Imam Reza alayhi salam, because Imam Reza was alive when Lady Ma'suma passed away. As I said, after a year, she wanted to visit Imam Reza, but she couldn't visit Imam Reza. She died in Qum, and Imam Reza was still alive. Imam Reza alayhi salam said, مَنْ زَارَ الْمَعْسُومَةَ بِقُمْ كَمَنْ زَارَنِي Whoever visits Ma'suma, who gave this title of Ma'suma to Lady Ma'suma? Imam alayhi salam. Her name is Fatima. Ma'suma is the title. Imam Reza calls her Ma'suma, immaculate. Whoever visits Ma'suma in Qom kaman zarani is like visiting me. Imam of her time says visiting her is like visiting me. If you ask Imam Jawad, oh Imam, your father said whoever visits Lady Ma'suma is like visiting me. Do you accept the same? What would be the answer of Imam Jawad? Whoever visits Ma'suma is like visiting me. If you ask Imam Hadi, would say the same. It's not that Imam Raza said, whoever visits her, it's like visiting me because we are brother and sister. No, it's not a matter of brother and sister. Imam Raza had many brothers and others, you know, members of family. There's a special thing about Lady Ma'suma. So, if today we ask Imam Zaman, Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, do you say the same thing that Imam Raza said? I think he says yes. Whoever visits Ma'suma is like visiting me. So if you are eager to benefit from meeting of Imam Zaman of your time, this shrine is the place for you to get that blessing. So let us reflect on these hadiths. Why so much emphasis on Qom? Why Qom is haram of all Ahlul Bayt? Why three gates of heaven face Qom? Why through her shafa'ah, Imam Sadiq says, all our Shia will go to heaven? Why visiting her makes Jannah necessary? Why visiting her is like visiting Imam of your time? These are questions that need reflection.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The proportion of Americans with hardly any confidence in the Supreme Court has shot up by 15 points since 2021. A new poll shows that Americans have less trust in U.S. Supreme Court than ever. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Truthout wrote in this regard, as the public deals with the consequences of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn 50 years of precedent protecting rights across the country, trust in the Supreme Court has hit an all-time low. New polling by Associated Press, nor C-Center for Public Affairs Research at the University of Chicago has found. The latest installment of the General Social Survey, which NORC has conducted since 1973, polled Americans between May and December of last year. The period immediately following the leak of the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The polling found, perhaps unsurprisingly, that trust in the High Court took a nosedive last year. Just 18% of Americans said they had a great deal of confidence in the Supreme Court last year, down from 26% in 2021. The amount of people with only some confidence dropped from 53% in 2021 to 46% in 2022. Meanwhile, the proportion of people who said they had hardly any confidence in the U.S. Supreme Court exceeded the proportion who said they had a great deal of confidence for the first time in the poll's history. A record 36% of respondents said they had hardly any trust in the court, up 15 points from 2021. Trust was lowest among Democrats. The proportion of Democrats with a great deal of confidence fell to a mere 8% in 2022, down from 25% the previous year. Confidence even fell among Republicans, despite the high court being dominated by right-leaning justices, dropping from 31% in 2021 to 26% in 2022. Polling demonstrates the crisis in confidence that the far-right Supreme Court justices have brought into the institution. Even aside from the questionable logic and legal basis behind the Dobbs v. Jackson ruling, the court's radical decision to yank away the right to bodily autonomy, despite the long-time precedent set by Roe, has yielded disastrous consequences for the public and people's rights to bodily autonomy, both for seekers and for other regular care. The poll results also show how polarizing and unpopular the concept of banning some rights is when it becomes a reality. Previous polls on the Supreme Court after the fall of Roe have yielded similar rights. A Gallup poll last September found that approval of the Supreme Court was just 40%, tied with the record low first seen in 2021, while disapproval of the court was at a record high of 58%. These polls, however, were conducted before reporters uncovered a number of instances of extreme corruption from Supreme Court justices, specifically from Justice Clarence Thomas, who Chief Justice John Roberts has worked to shield in recent weeks. The scandal surrounding Thomas has made the public aware of what has amounted to an open secret among judicial experts that corruption is much more common among court justices than the public knows, and that the justices have no interest in changing rules regarding corruption because it benefits them personally. If the polling were conducted after these revelations, it may have found an even dimmer view of the Supreme Court. Recent polling from The Economist and YouGov, conducted after the first bombshell ProPublica report on Thomas accepting lavish, undisclosed gifts from a Republican mega donor, found that nearly 6 in 10 Americans disapprove of Thomas' choice to accept the gifts. Another poll conducted around the same time by Demand Justice found that 70% of Americans would support an investigation of ethical violations by Supreme Court justices. According to NPR, Americans don't tend to like either political party very much. A December NPR PBS NewsHour Morris poll found the parties were viewed nearly identically and in a negative light. Below the numbers, an intensity of dislike has grown. Over the last 30 years, members of both parties in the U.S. have been increasingly likely to express extremely negative views of the other political party. In 1994, only about one-fifth of Americans said they had a very unfavorable view of the other party. Last year, a Pew Research Center study found majorities in each party said so.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Ideal University Student brings change in thinking and reality of the society and world. The following is part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in a meeting with university students and representatives of student associations in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on April 18th, 2023.
Students should not drown themselves in the internet. While the internet does exist in the country, despite all the things that are said here and there, social media exists and the internet exists. Some people sit around waiting to be flooded with analysis, news, and content from the internet. That's wrong. You need to seize control of the social media. You should be the ones to direct it. your thoughts, news, and analysis should go out on the internet, not the other way around. These are things that plague student activities. Sometimes caring, faithful students ask us what their duty is. Sometimes they write to me, or at times they come to our office and talk with our friends there. You can sense their concern and their willingness to do something. One of the important duties is to remove the impurities from important student activities, which are a great opportunity and something valuable for the country.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
One more topic about students. I don't wish to answer your questions now with the things that I am saying. I mean, this is not what I'm trying to do now. I can't do this in this limited time. I want you to have a basis for your movement. In other words, organize your movement by looking at the long horizons ahead of you. You're seeking progress. The best youth in our country are mainly our university students. And you pious students want to move forward. I want this goal to be reached. Look at the distant horizon. They ask me, in your opinion, what is the duty of an ideal, ambitious student who is thinking about the future? This is my answer. The first thing is to bring about a change in the thinking and reality of your society, and then to bring about a change in the thinking and reality of the world. Does it surprise you that a student can change the reality of the world? It is not surprising at all. You are students today, but tomorrow, today's students will become directors in politics, and they will administer an important part of the country. The country's officials today used to be students like you, and now they are busy running the country's affairs. They are busy with managing the country's politics, economy, and diplomacy. Today's student is tomorrow's philosopher. He or she is tomorrow's researcher.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.